And while you're turning there, I always enjoy getting around to different churches, sometimes on vacation traveling, getting around to meet together with the family of God. And you know, as believers, we're never strangers because we're all part of one family, the family of God. And I look out today and see folks that I have known for quite a while. Folks whose kids, as well as my kids, have grown and have kids, children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. But God is good. God provides strength for us in these latter years as we walk with Him. I want to talk today about heaven. Heaven is for real. Now, I realize I normally work from an outline, and I will try, because I know you don't have the outline before you, I will try to notice we go along the different points that we are going to emphasize. In Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to read verses 8 through 13. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprung there even from one of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a city. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Shall we bow together this morning in a word of prayer? Our Father, we're so grateful today for the Word of God, for the promises of the Word of God, for the faithfulness of the God of the Word. And we're thankful, Father, today that we have this opportunity. And we pray that you would work through this unworthy vessel of clay to exalt the one who is worthy and do all praise. We're thankful, Father, today that you have loved us and you continue to love us with an everlasting love. And we pray, Father, that our lives might be profitable as we journey on in this pilgrim land, as we journey towards the city that you have prepared, the home that you have prepared for us. But we pray, Father, above all, that your name would be exalted and glorified. And we give you thanks and the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' blessed and holy name. Heaven is for real. You maybe a few years ago read a book with that title. A young boy was ill. He died and went to heaven. And he returned and wrote a book. Heaven is for real. And he described some of the things that he saw in heaven. The golden streets, the different beings that were there, all of the things that he saw. There have been other writers that have written about going to heaven and coming back. And they saw in the heaven that they went into, this one particular individual recorded that he went to a warehouse in heaven, and the doors were opened, and he saw all kinds of spare parts in heaven. On this shelf, there were some arms, some legs, different body parts and everything else that people did not receive because they did not pray for them. I, on the basis of the Word of God, declare to you that all of these claims are without foundation. They are not according to the Word of God. This young boy that died, it seems after a few years, and there is evidently a movie being made about it. His father authored the book and made suggestions as far as the ideas and everything of things that his son saw. But all of these things are bogus. Now I realize, and I've been there, sometimes you go into the hospital and they give you drugs. And sometimes after surgery, these drugs have a lingering effect. And sometimes people hallucinate and they maybe see angels or maybe they think they see Jesus. But all of these things are contrary to the Word of God. Maybe they had pizza and a dill pickle before surgery. But heaven is for real. There's only one person. Turn, if you would, in the book of Corinthians. Back a little bit in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Is the account of one individual, the dead, go to heaven and return. In chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, the first verse, it is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which were not lawful for man to utter. Of such one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. The Apostle Paul writes and speaks in the third person of this one that went to heaven, but the things that he saw, the things that he experienced, were not to be revealed to man. It was unimaginable, beyond imagination. It was beyond description. And the Apostle Paul, this is the only account in the Word of God where he writes about heaven. He did not write a book about the things he saw. He said it was unspeakable. It was indescribable. He could not record it. So he did not. All that God wants us to know about heaven is in this book. And if we follow the instructions, he will reveal those things to us. Now, I know none of you as parents are guilty, but sometimes for a birthday, for Christmas, or some special occasion, we will buy a gift for a child, and we will take it, open the box, put all of the parts together, And every time that I've done that, I've always had parts left over because I didn't follow the instructions. God's instructions for us are in the Word of God and no other book. Man's wisdom does not nullify the truth of the Word of God. Now, back in the book of Hebrews, where we started, these individuals, and Hebrews is a chapter on faith. And we see as we go down through the 11th chapter that there are a number of individuals mentioned in their relationship to faith. Abel is mentioned as faith in worship. Enoch is mentioned as faith by his walk. Noah is mentioned by his faith in work. Abraham and Sarah are mentioned by their faith in wandering. Their wandering was probably similar to what we experience today. We wander in this world looking for a city whose maker and builder is God. Now we need to remind ourselves in Hebrews chapter 11, as far as Abraham was concerned and the walk that he had, number one, they died in faith, not receiving the promise. Is God faithful in his promises to us? Is God faithful in what he has told us that he would do? He is. Now, God has promised, but it does not necessarily take place in a point of time. We deal with time. We have watches and calendars. We deal with time. God does not. God is eternal. God's time is not our time. And he deals with us in time to accomplish his purpose. But in time, Abraham did not receive the promise. He died. Number two, they saw in faith. Not receiving the promise, but he saw the promises afar off. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, he has promised you eternal life. When does that life begin? It begins when you trust Christ as Savior. When does that life end? Never. It is eternal. But that faith, that promise, is afar off. They were persuaded by the promises that they had received. They embraced those promises with hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope is all in Christ. And they confessed their trust by believing, and they walked day by day, believing, hoping, trusting, and confessing that God was faithful. I have good news and bad news today. First of all, the bad news. All of these books and claims about going to heaven and coming back and writing stories are bogus. God does not offer tours to heaven. God does not offer a round-trip ticket to heaven. The promises of God are that when we depart this life, we will go to heaven and we will not return. God does not offer round-trip tickets. The trip is a one-way trip. There are no trial visits and no tours. The good news is that heaven is available to each one of us here today. And that heaven that I want to talk about today has some restrictions on it. Now, we live in a nation today, and some of us are old enough to remember a country that was. We live in a nation today that has chosen to remove the Bible. We live in a nation today that has chosen to remove prayer from schools. We live in a nation today that is attempting to remove crosses from buildings in different places. I would think Arlington Cemetery would really be a problem in removing all of the crosses that are there. We live in a nation where churches are restricted, and even more so. They can take the Bible out of schools. They can take the prayer out of schools. They can take the crosses down off of buildings, but they cannot take the Bible, prayer, cross, the things that are in my heart today, that are in your heart if you're a child of God today. Washington State, or the Northwest, and Eastern Washington, of course, is part of it, is a very non-Christian community. There was a time when surveys were taken, and a large majority believed in God, which is fine. A lesser majority believed in heaven and the afterlife. A lesser majority believed in a personal devil. But a lower majority believed in Jesus Christ. And that's the key to heaven. God is involved, but Jesus is God. All of these other things are involved, but the important thing is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'd like to, now this morning, talk about the fact that heaven is real. God created man, according to the book of Ecclesiastes, God created man with eternity in his heart. All of us here today have a void in our heart that can only be filled by Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Some people try to put recreation into it, but it doesn't fit. Some people try to put alcohol into it or drugs, but it doesn't fit. Some people even try to put church into it, but it doesn't fit. It's good that you are here today, but we are here today, hopefully, each and every one of us, because of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Number one, heaven is for the redeemed. John writes in the book of Revelation that there is no unclean thing in heaven. John writes in Revelation that there is no sin in heaven. God writes in Revelation that only those that are in Christ will be in heaven. I am amazed. You read the papers, you read the obituaries. I check it every morning to make sure I'm not there. But it's amazing in the obituaries, in the stories that people tell. I overheard a lady the other day say that God wasn't ready for her yet. He didn't have his or her sewing room ready. Some people are going to heaven, according to obituaries, to play on a perfect golf course where everything is a hole in one. Some people go with their fishing companions. But let me say, I don't have anything against golf or fishing or any of that, but none of that will be in heaven, because the center of our focus in heaven will be Jesus Christ and worship and glorifying Him. We won't have time for golf. I can't imagine, Paul couldn't describe it. I have no idea how to tell you what heaven's going to be like, but I want to say, from my understanding, it will be beyond anything that we can even begin to imagine. But heaven is for the redeemed. redeemed and so happy in Jesus, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, trusting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Paul says, Paul in Romans says that we are justified by faith. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus Christ. All through the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul talks about being in Christ. We are justified, we are sanctified, and one day we will be glorified in Christ. I recall a story of this particular funeral. Most of you are aware of the fact that I volunteer in the chaplain's office at the hospital, so I deal with end-of-life situations quite a bit. My son says I'm a professional funeral goer, but my generation is dying, and I'm going to their funerals. But anyway, this story goes that this funeral was taking place, and the pastor was waxing eloquent about the man that was in the coffin before him. He was a good family man. He was faithful to his wife. He was a good pillar in the community, and he helped things in the community. Now, as it turns out, this particular individual was unfaithful to his wife. He was drunk. He was a hellraiser in the community and everything else. Anyway, as the funeral went on, as the pastor progressed, the wife of this man turned to one of the sons and said, I think we're at the wrong funeral. Pastors a lot of times do tend to dress up the deceased. And I don't think I've ever heard a funeral where the pastor got up and said, this man was a good man, but he didn't know Christ, and he's in hell today. But if a man is not in Christ, or woman is not in Christ, he will not go to heaven. Heaven is for the redeemed, number one. Heaven is for release. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. Heaven is for release. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 through 50. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Now, Paul's obviously talking about the resurrection. It is sown in corruption. That's where we're at today. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor today. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness today. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That last Adam was Jesus Christ. Howbeit, that was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural. Afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. As the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. But as we have borne the image of the earth, we also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither the corruption or incorruption. Heaven is for release. How many of you today are burdened with a load of sin? Maybe it's forgiven sin, but that old nature is still there. How many of you today are looking forward to that day when you will be released from this body? There's a story I think it was Franklin Graham, that was talking to Johnny Erickson Tata. Johnny Erickson, when she was, I believe, 17, dove into the water and ended up paralyzed, a paraplegic. And during her recovery, she became very discouraged, very depressed, and even contemplated suicide. But how would she do it? She was paralyzed. She couldn't do anything. Now, eventually, she came to a place where she accepted her wheelchair, her infirmity, and the life that she would live because of it. And Franklin Graham, in the interview, asked her, "Johnny, will you be glad when you get to heaven and you're rid of sin?" And she said, "Yes, but I'm going to be even more glad that I'm out of this old, broken body and out of this wheelchair." Now, we have some wheelchairs here today. And if you're in Christ one day, you'll be out of those wheelchairs, skipping down, as it were, the streets of heaven. Number three, heaven is for rewards. You're in 1 Corinthians, turn to the third chapter. Heaven is for rewards. Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Paul is writing, and he's talking about Jesus Christ. And in verse 11, the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he will receive a reward. And if a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." I don't work, hopefully you don't work, for your salvation. But I work because of my salvation. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians that we are dead. When you get old, sometimes you draw a blank. Oh, boy. Okay, when all else fails, turn to the reference. Ephesians chapter 2. I know this verse. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast." We are his workmanship in verse 10. A lot of people forget that. We are his workmanship in Christ Jesus, created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We work because of salvation. We sow to the flesh, we reap to the flesh. We sow spiritually, we reap spiritually. Heaven is for rewards. Heaven is for rest. How many of you in these old bodies get tired? Now, I was told this morning, and I note that he's still awake, and I'm not talking loudly to keep him awake, but he said he might fall asleep. And I won't name any names. So, you're safe. I won't reveal your name. Where were we going? Okay, heaven is for rewards. Heaven is for rest. We get tired in these bodies, even spiritually. We get tired. And sometimes we need to take a break and get away. But Jesus said in John chapter 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. So rest is coming for those that are in Christ. Heaven is for rest. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people by a perfect person, Jesus Christ. There's a person, Jesus, there's a place, heaven, and there's a promise from the Word of God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Heaven is for the righteous. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 9 through 12. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extorters shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. But such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Heaven is for the righteous. I have nothing whereof to boast. Now we're all a very proper, correct, well-dressed group of people here today. But if you are not in Jesus Christ, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not going to heaven. And you have the opportunity today to be released from your sin through the blood of Christ and confessing your sin. Number 6, heaven is for rejoicing. The Apostle John in Revelation records that heaven will be a place of absence. There will be no sin. There will be no darkness. There'll be no death. There'll be no illness. There'll be no night. There'll be no sin. Now, I have been tremendously blessed in the years that I've been a believer. But I'm always plagued by what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7. That old man doing what I don't want to do and not doing what I want to do because of that old sin nature. No curse, no need for security, no death, no illness, no light. And finally, number 7, heaven is for royalty. Romans chapter 6 talks about, now in Romans 5, the Apostle Paul writes about being justified, trusting Jesus Christ and being justified in Christ. And he gets to Romans chapter 6, and he talks about being heirs and joint heirs, I think it's chapter 8 rather, heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I have never been invited to the White House. I have voted for most of the presidents, not all, but I have voted. I have supported, but I've never been invited to the White House. But I have been invited through Christ. You have been invited through Christ to the throne of glory, to the presence of the Son of God. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have a relationship. We have rewards. We have blessing. And they will all be laid at the feet of Jesus when we finally arrive at heaven. The offer is still open for heaven. I can assure you it's not a round trip. You're not going to go and come back and tell everybody about it. It's a one-way ticket, but it is still open. How many of you here today want to go to heaven? How many of you today here are going to heaven because of your relationship with Jesus Christ? According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the 7th verse, heaven is where the angels are. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, heaven is where Jesus is. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's where believers are. Heaven is where I am going. Are you going to heaven? Have you personally, and I'm not talking about mom, dad, husband, wife, have you personally accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And that's the only way that you can go to heaven. And I really, sincerely trust and hope that everyone today here has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Heaven is for the redeemed. Heaven is for reward. Heaven is for rest. Heaven is for royalty. Heaven is for those who place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Our Father, you know the hearts here today. You know the needs. Sometimes those needs are physical, sometimes they're spiritual. But you know the heart, and we pray, Father, that your Spirit might do your work today to bring glory and praise to your name. Thank you, Father, for this assembly of believers. Thank you for their faithfulness, their desire to serve you. Thank you, Father, for this building, this house of worship, where people can come. And we pray, Father, that your name might be glorified and exalted in this place, in these lives, in this day. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.